Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers close in on a deal for a new striker. Are Celtic back in for defender Ben Davis? And Jim Goodwin talks finances after Calvin Ramsey's departure. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Yes, evening Andrew. And like I start the show every Thursday, there are still lots going on at this time of the season. You just mentioned a few interesting developments in the transfer window, and Celtic and Rangers fans will want to have their say in that. And it's always a time of year, now that I've retired, that I can finally enjoy seeing all the images coming back from the teams just starting pre-season and players bent over exhausted. A time of year I hated, but the players have to do it. The fans get excited when they see that because they know the season is just round the corner.
You're not still out there doing the bleep test every summer?
Definitely not. Do I look like I'm doing the bleep test?
There's been certainly a real trend. Not. There's been a real trend though of, I've seen it, players posting up when they should be on holiday, you'd think, posting up videos of them out training, showing on social media that they're working really hard. Was that not you when you were?
Well, when did that start? I mean, I agree with you. I'm seeing more and more players in the gym posting videos. It's the era of social media and Instagram, and look at me. I mean, we moan about that players are put through the ringer in terms of the amount of games they play and they should enjoy their downtime. It seems like these players just keep going and going and going. Enjoy yourselves. Use the break.
You'd be more keen on the Jack Grealish approach.
I love the Jack Grealish approach. I mean, that's exactly what you should be doing. Vegas, enjoy yourself, and then use pre-season for being fit. But I'm seeing some photos coming in today, some of the guys with somber looks on their face because those first few days. In fact, I seen Gary Mackay-Steven yesterday in a restaurant, and I says, how's things back pre-season? He said, first day back, he says, tough. The old bleep test still gets the nerves. Soon as you hear that tape going and the wee noise kicking off start of level one, you're going, oh, here we go. And you're looking for the goalies. That's all you're looking for, Andrew. The goalies to drop it, and then you can
drop it.
As long
as you beat them, you're fine.
As long as you beat them, you're all right.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Whether you want to talk about transfers that have happened, transfers you'd like to happen, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. A story coming out today, it looks as if Rangers are going to sign a striker, maybe not the striker that Rangers fans were looking for, because this is a 16-year-old, Zach Lovelace from Millwall. Quite a name, isn't it? It's a bit more exotic than Mark Wilson and Andrew McLean, Zach Lovelace. Yeah. But yeah, he's sort of highly rated down south, made his championship debut at the age of 15. He's expected to join up with Rangers at the start of July. I mean, that's clearly shows that Millwall had or have high hopes for him, making your debut at 15 in the English Championship.
You don't often hear about that, Andrew, and it clearly shows you what talent the boy has. I mean, throughout the years, there was only one when I was growing up that I can remember being thrust into first team action or being asked to be from the schools to be put into first team action. It was Darren Fletcher at Man United, and a slightly different level, and we were all amazed. We could clearly see his talent at that age. But you have to have the physicality and the intelligence as a footballer to even be considered to play at that age, because you're going into a men's sport. Now, it's obvious that Millwall looked at him and thought, yeah, he can handle this. And it's alerted some big clubs throughout the UK. And Rangers have beat everybody to the signing of him. So, I mean, they have high hopes for him in the future, but I just wonder how much involvement he will have next year. I wonder if it's not one for development. I wonder if it's to go right in to the deep end and actually challenge Morelos and Roof and whoever else is at the club for that striker role.
Yeah, because you'd think if you're playing games in the English Championship, are you then going to turn around and be playing for Rangers B team in the Lowland League next season?
Well, you wouldn't think so. I mean, his agent and his advisors and whoever's at the club just now would have told him, you know, what they expect of him next season at Millwall. They would have put on the table what's on offer. Now, I'd be very surprised if they said go to Rangers and develop in the under-23s. Now, he might have to play some part of that, but I think he must be, Van Bronckhorst must be considering this boy if he's watched him, if he's played at that level in a very, very physical league. Got to say, I sampled it. I didn't do too well in it, if I'm being honest, because it was so physical.
That's because you weren't putting in the work in pre-season, that's what
exactly,
it was.
Exactly, I was Jack Grealish in it in pre-season that caught up with me. But this boy at 15, if he can handle it and make the mark and make that step up to play in that league, then he'd surely be considered for starting for a squad place up here with Rangers.
It's nice to see from a Scottish football perspective it happening the other way around, because we've been used to it in recent times that our young talent has been poached. There was Rory Wilson recently went to Aston Villa, Ben Doak went to Liverpool as well. Yeah. With the Brexit rules as well, it's been tough for Scottish clubs to hold on to their best talent with English clubs circling around them. So Rangers sort of making a move to sort of do it back and do it their own way and try and get players in that they can at that young age.
And so they should. I mean, you look at the Premier League in England now, and you know, they're just the vast wealth that they've got, that they can go anywhere and bring in any player. So the Championship in League One, the younger players in there, there are talent there, you know, really talented boys there. So Celtic Rangers should be looking there, because Celtic Rangers are a huge draw when they've got European football, and off the back of what Rangers did last season, you know, you can see why young players might want a piece of that. It was broadcast everywhere throughout the world, the atmosphere that Europa League campaign drew for Rangers, it was exceptional. And it'll be the same for Celtic next year in the Champions League. And young players looking at that and think, I fancy a slice of that. If they have to come here and develop for a few years, then it's serving both player and the club up here. So I think it's something that might be the future. I'm pretty sure both clubs have got a scouting network that are well in touch with whatever's going on down south at that level.
Is that something Rangers need to use as a tool this summer? The fact that you get to the Europa League final, can you kind of point to players and say, I mean, look what we did last season, look at the run we were on, look at the level we got to, you know, that could potentially happen if you come and join us for next season?
Well, we've got to be realistic. When our clubs go for players in Rangers and Celtic, they have got to use their unique selling point. Now, the Scottish Premiership, we love it, it is exciting, but to other players, it's maybe no, I can't compete to the other leagues. The Celtic Rangers games, of course, can. They can showcase that. Look, this is what you're getting a taste of. But when you've got that Europa League run that Rangers were on, when you've got Champions League nights that you can point back to and say, look, this is coming up for Celtic, then, I mean, it's an incredible draw for both clubs to have, and they've got to use it when they're trying to sign players.
Well, we want to hear from you, whatever's on your mind, whoever you support. 01419511025, give us a call, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Let's stick with Rangers strikers, because there was reports over the last 24 hours about Alfredo Morelos. It was reports coming out of Spain that Sevilla had put in a bid of €8 million for him. He's obviously in the last year of his contract. Those reports have since come out, and it looks as if they're wide of the mark. There was no bid that was put in. But either way, it's a situation that Rangers are going to need to sort out this summer, just based on his contract situation. We have talked about it a lot, and there's obviously Ryan Kent and Joe Aribo in the same situation. But if Rangers are still looking to bring in another striker whilst Alfredo Morelos is there, they also need to sort out his future, because if he's not going to be there, then that's another number they're going to have to add as well on top of what they're already looking at.
Of course, and someone who's been such a great servant to them in terms of goal scoring in big games, then you've got to look after the players that are in-house first, you know, the players that you want to keep. Now, I've no doubt that Van Bronckhorst will want to keep them. I would have thought it might have been slightly different if Steven Gerrard was still here. He might have been looking to offload them. The way things were going, maybe looked like that. But I think Van Bronckhorst found an extra yard in Morelos, and I think you could quite clearly see Morelos liked playing under Van Bronckhorst. But you kind of leave it running for you know, an extended period of time, even to Christmas, or you're in trouble. You've got an unsettled player. You've got a player who can maybe not down tools, but maybe not quite at his peak. There's no drive there, and the club would lose it in an awful lot of money. So it's something that has to be rectified. But I mean, we're in this position every summer. It's a talking point, Morelos, every year, because he's Rangers' number one striker, and if you're scoring goals, you attract attention. But it's the bids that are coming in. We only really know a one concrete bid. Was it last year that came in for Lille?
Yeah, from Lille.
Yeah, that was knocked back. If it's reported at £8 million or €8 million was a figure, then that's well shy of what Rangers were being offered last year. So it's an,
I mean,
everyone's
that, naturally
interest.
That will happen when he's into the last year of his contract, but would you still expect that Rangers would be looking for quite a lot more than that? We saw last summer, it was Odson Edward, Christopher Ayer at Celtic were both in the last year of their contract. They ended up getting eight figures for both players, decent fees that, you know, down to English Premier League sides.
It's got to be the same. I mean, there's always a comparison, Edward against Morelos, and I think there was more to Edward's game anyway in terms of all-round player, in terms of set pieces and movement and pace, and maybe that's why Celtic got that figure. But Rangers have got to push the boundaries. If he's not going to sign, then they've got to hold out for the biggest figure they can get. I think if it's €8 million, that's on the cheap for me.
How tough is he to replace? Because he's a player that there aren't many other players like. Could you see Rangers going for a like for like? They have been really reliant on him over his whole spell, really, at the club. Would it be a case of trying to find a like for like? But we don't know, because Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might have a completely different idea of what his ideal striker is.
Yeah, it's a good point. The way he wants to play might be completely different, and he fell into the job where he had players in place, and he maybe had to adapt his style a bit, and a different sort of striker might just be what he fancies. But how do you find a replacement like for like for Morelos? Because there's so much to his game, the way he leads that line, the way he plays up front himself and can occupy two centre halves at a time with his strength and his movement. That's very difficult. I mean, you need to pay a lot of money to try and get that player in, and it was a gamble when Morelos came in. Didn't pay a lot of money for him, but it worked. So those buys are incredibly difficult. So that's why Rangers will be trying to tie him down, but behind the scenes will be somebody working on the worst case scenario that he goes, and they can't be left light in that position.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. There seem to be a few Rangers rumours doing the rounds today. There was a report down south as well saying that Brighton have Glenn Kamara on a list of targets. They are obviously trying to replace Yves Bissouma, who's gone to Tottenham for around £30 million. An interesting link, if Rangers are going to sell, and if they want to sell big this summer, is Glenn Kamara maybe one of the players that they would look at, just given the fact that his contract length, I think he's still got 3 years left in his contract. I think he signed a new 4-year deal in September. Yeah. So he does still have a lot of time in his contract. He actually looked towards the end of the season. He wasn't a regular starter for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I think he only started 2 of their last 8 league matches. I don't think he started the Scottish Cup final either. Mm-hmm. We've seen him be a key part of the Rangers side over the years after he came in from Dundee. But you wonder if there is interest, if that's one that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might think that could make a move.
Maybe. I mean, I was surprised that Van Bronckhorst didn't play him in more games, because I think he's a terrific player. It's just kind of finding that position where he's best at. You know, he seemed to play sometimes an advanced role. I was never quite convinced he was that advanced midfielder. Thought he was always better at kind of dictating play and breaking things up. But what a blueprint that is to get somebody in for 50,000 pounds for Dundee. And then I thought last year that the Euros, his stock had risen so high that was the opportunity for Rangers to really cash in. But of course, they found that they needed him there and they wanted him to stay there, which is, you know, serve Rangers his purpose. But he's going to be a bit part player. If he's not going to be a number one starter and a club comes in with a decent offer, then you've got to move him on.
That's why it's so key for Rangers and any other club to get their players signed on those longer term deals, because they hold the cards. They can essentially turn around to whatever clubs that may be interested in them and say, well, you know, you're going to have to pay a big fee here because he's got 3-4 years left in his deal.
Exactly. And that's the model that they've got to live by. You know, we're so used to clubs out with Celtic and Rangers offering 1 and 2 year contracts, and the turnover of players are huge. But Rangers and Celtic can afford themselves the luxury of tying these players up and then, you know, giving them 3-year contracts with a 1-year option, it adds up to obviously 4 years in the club's favour, not the players' favour. So they've always got that safety net. And guys like Kamara, Rangers have done it correct. They've seen his stock so high, got him on a new contract, and now if bids come in, they hold all the aces.
Generally, there does seem to be a bit of a shift just in the world landscape of football towards player power. You see quite a lot of, you know, high profile players now just running down their contracts, which you didn't really see too much of in previous years.
No, because, well, they know the value, what they can get. I mean, take Down South. Down South is just a different stratosphere for what it was 10 years ago. Players are running down their contract and they're trying to get 200 grand a week.
Yeah, because the clubs aren't having to pay a fee for them. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But, I mean, collectively the clubs have got to somehow put a stop to that. I don't know how they do it, but it is very much player power nowadays in terms of running down the contracts. Look, it works both ways, because for years, like I say, there with clubs, they offer contracts and have a year option where they hold on to the player and say, no, we'll have you, even though you're not really in our plans, but you might be worth something. And other times it's we don't need you and you're cast aside pretty quickly. So it's interesting. We're in a different world up here, Andrew, though, to some of the figures that I'm hearing being quoted this week for guys like, you know, Jesse Lingard, for instance, who's commanding 150 to 200 grand a week to go. I mean,
by that scale, how much should you have been earning while you were playing?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't even put a figure on it if that's the case. I would never be away for Vegas like Jack Grealish, put it that way.
You'd have a good few nights out there.
Exactly.
But on Glenn Kamara, Rangers, it's an area of the pitch that Rangers do have quite a few players in. They've got Ryan Jack, they've got John Lundstrom, Stephen Davis has signed a new deal, James Sands is yet to hit the ground running but can play in that deeper midfield role as well. So if it is one that there is interest, that could play a factor as well. If Giovanni Van Bronckhorst thinks, you know what, that there is options, we maybe wouldn't need to then spend that money on a direct replacement that can go towards another area of the pitch that I maybe feel is more urgent.
But I think they would, Andrew. I think one of them, obviously Dave Stein, Lundstrom's a favourite. I don't know about Sands. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of him. But if Kamara moves, I think they will refresh that area. I mean, I get players that have played there for a good couple of years now and served the club well, but I still think you need to refresh your squad. When you look at the Rangers squad from when they won the league a couple of seasons ago, it's not much been changed, really. You know, in terms of the starting 11, it's very similar. Alan McGregor, we're seeing agreeing another deal. Stephen Davis is there. You look at the full structure of the team, it's very, very similar. And I think sometimes teams can, you know, stagnate a wee bit. I think you need to freshen things up. And I wonder how many positions Van Bronckhorst is looking at to do that. I think it'll be quite a few.
We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. A bit of breaking news that came out just before we went on air. Hamilton releasing a statement saying they can confirm that they've mutually agreed to part company with head coach Stuart Taylor. We thank Stuart and he leaves with our best wishes for the future. It's interesting timing, isn't it? Because this is essentially what, maybe 1 week into pre-season for them, 1 or 2 weeks into pre-season. You'd think that, you know, this would maybe be done at the end of the season, or if the start of the season doesn't go too well, then that's when they look at it. It's strange that if it's only 1 or 2 weeks into pre-season, they've decided that now's the time to do it.
Quite surprised by that, Andrew, if I'm honest. You're totally right there with what you say, because you feel like if you're going to clear the decks and go for a change, that comes at the end of the season, gives the board time to get a new guy in, gives the new guy time to meet the players, to put into place a plan, to recruit new players in. But it's not leaving a lot of time. So I just wonder how the full structure is. I know John Rankin was there as number two. I wonder if he might be moved up the ladder. I hope he does, because he certainly deserves his chance. But it'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
They've also, they won a friendly today, 3-0 against Irish side Larne. So they won a friendly and then he's gone. Not long after.
There you go. That's football management for you. The performance must have not been great.
They wanted 4-0. That was it. 0141 951 1025. We'll be taking a look at stories surrounding Celtic after the travel with Lindsay.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 if you want to get in touch, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. And Mark, you saw a local celebrity when you were driving into the studio today,
I did. I couldn't believe my eyes, Andrew. So I'm driving through Bear's Den and I'm caught in a wee bit of traffic and I look over and I thought, no way, I seen the back of somebody's head. So I roll down the window and I give it the shout, Specky Tube! And sure enough, the man himself, Hugh Keevans, is there. He's standing at the bus stop. So I said, Hugh, where are you going? Thinking, I'll give you a run somewhere. He said, home.
Now, which is what? He was, 2 seconds up the road.
He was 500 yards from his front door and he was getting the bus.
Maybe it's just the rail strike hitting him hard, you never know.
We need to get to the bottom of it. When's he back? Monday.
You need to ask him.
Why he was getting the bus 500 yards along the road.
Maybe he was just off somewhere secret and didn't want you to know.
Aye, home. Aye, so there you go. He took it well. He thought it was somebody abusing him and shouting.
Well, it was somebody abusing him. It was just you.
He's seen the funny side. The relief in his face when he seen it was me. And
not just a random.
Not just a random shouting Specky Tube. It was good to see him. I miss his face. I miss his voice.
We'll find out the full story on Monday. 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, let's take a look at another story today. And it's a familiar name that Celtic are linked with. It's the Liverpool Echo that say Celtic are interested in defender Ben Davis and have apparently made contact with Liverpool about him. So you may remember he was really close to joining Celtic a year ago in January before they were pipped right at the end of the window by Liverpool. He was at Preston at that point. Didn't even end up playing. Don't think to this day he's played a competitive game for Liverpool. Was loaned out last season to Sheffield United. But yeah, certainly looks as if, or from this report, that Celtic have made contact about a possible signing, and the fee that's been quoted is £4 million.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this one, because usually when you miss the boat with players, that's done and dusted. But Ben Davies is popped back up again. You wonder how that comes about, really. He's obviously somebody that Celtic, or somebody behind the scenes in the scouting department, really rates at Celtic to bring it back up to Ange Postecoglou. £4 million, you know, it's a decent amount of money, a good fee. Ben Davies had a choice to go to Liverpool or to come to Celtic and probably play week in, week out. He fancied his chances going to Liverpool. It was always going to be incredibly difficult for him to break in. But he went loan to Sheffield United, played 21 times, so he's still got some football behind him. But that'll be interesting to see how that develops. It's a position I think Celtic probably need covering, that left centre-back position, because although they've got a good partnership just now, Starfelt and Carter Vickers, if one had to be injured, then you're left with Welsh or Julian, who's obviously looks like he's facing the door. So that could be one that Celtic go for.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Next up is Hugh in Bear's Den. Hugh, what's your point tonight?
I want Mark Wilson to know the reason why I was at the bus stop. I was taking it to a washing home from the laundrette and I was bringing it back on the bus. He couldn't see the washing behind me.
Where was the washing? You were...
It was in a
Were you wearing it?
He just put his straight back on out the dryer.
Arrived in his pants, put his washing on, and
that's not an image we need.
Listen, it's what's known as a rock and roll lifestyle.
Why didn't you say? And I would have gave you a run home.
No, because the traffic was particularly severe. I didn't want to hold you back from Super Scoreboard, but as part of the rock and roll lifestyle, now that I've brought the washing back, I'm defrosting the fridge now.
That is real rock and roll there.
What a guy. Well, Hugh, I missed your voice. I couldn't believe it. I was studying the back of your head, and I thought, that must be Hugh. It must be. And just when I caught a glimpse of the side of your face, I thought, there he is. I've missed that face for weeks.
Hugh, did you have one bag that was colours and one bag that was all whites?
No. I didn't pack the bag, so it was packed in a way that's unsatisfactory to me.
How many cardigans were in that bag?
No, it was all bedding, actually.
That's a nightmare. Bedding's a nightmare.
But you see, Mark, if I am reduced to getting the washing from the laundrette and defrosting the fridge, get this football season back as quickly as you can.
Absolutely. Hugh said it better than me. Thank you to Hugh. Brilliant. We'll speak to you again on Monday. Thank you very much for phoning in. Let's go back to the phones again. I promise it isn't another pundit that's phoning us in this time. It's James, who's a Celtic fan in Port Glasgow. James, links today with Ben Davies. Is that one you would like to see?
Absolutely, Andrew. Good evening, Mark. I think you stole my thunder there. I phoned in to start the Rangers game last year and I says, we need a new back five. And the boy said, how come? We're about to enter the Champions League, Mark. Now we're going to come up against the cream of the crop. Last season, Rolston, Taylor, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Joe Hart had nightmares and gave away goals. Penalty kicks, shocking defending. Now, we're coming up against the best now. I want us to put on a show and say, well, I don't think we'll get through the last 16, but at least make us proud and maybe get a third place spot.
Is this just Europe you're talking about, James? Because Celtic had a very good defensive record domestically.
As Mark said, as I said, he stole my thunder a bit. If Starfelt goes out injured, which was hurt with Sweden there, and say Carter Vickers got injured, and we're playing Real Madrid, who have we got? Tell me who we've got.
Well, your choice of Welsh or Julian, you'd imagine. I think it's a position that Celtic need to look at. You know, last season, or when they were out, Beaton was always a kind of fallback as well. That I was never quite convinced with him there. He was good at, you know, driving out and playing passes, but defensively, no. So it's a position that Celtic could do with strengthening. And that's why Ben Davies, good age, good experience. I mean, if Liverpool's seen something in him, then their scouting system has been pretty good over the years. And it's incredibly difficult to break into that group of players down there. So it's not to say he's a failure. It's just to say he's maybe not at that level. But who is at that level? I mean, Liverpool had to spend, £8 million on Van Dijk to get to that level. So it's a long way away, but he certainly could do a job for Celtic.
James, those games you're talking about were all still in the first few months of Ange Postecoglou's reign. Celtic did seem to sort of shore up things defensively more towards the second half of the season.
That's very true, but that was in the Premier League. We showed ourselves up in the Champions League, the Europa Cup and the Europa Cup Conference. Now, I'll give you a few facts and five figures. I've been checking this out here. Last year, we sold Bayo, Ryan Christie, Austin Edward, and Aya. And apparently, we made £35 million profit off of them, which is good for us. Now, we made £15 million from the Europa League, TJ50. You've got your Champions League, your Champions League money, £35 million, takes us up to £75-80 million, and then we get season ticket sales. So I would reckon, and you might think I'm totally wrong, I would reckon Celtic's got about £90 million in the bank. Am I wrong?
You're like Carol Vorderman there.
James has come with the bank statements here, but the thing is, Celtic may well have that money in the bank, but it doesn't mean that you spend it all on players. That's not how you run a football club efficiently. And yes, you know, that fans always want clubs to spend more money on transfers. Celtic did spend about £20 million on players last summer. This summer they've already spent around £6 million, just over £6 million, on Cameron Carter-Vickers. It looks as if Alexandre Bernabe is going to come in for a fee just shy of £4 million. You've got Jota, who could be £6.5 million if that deal gets over the line. So it's not as if Celtic aren't spending money.
No, there's no doubt about it. They have got money to spend, but it's about spending it wisely. I think Ange Postecoglou showed that in his 1 year here, that if he's given money, he can spend it wisely. It's not about marquee signings anymore, I don't think, in Scotland. I mean, those days are really gone, where the big names from down south come up and while was on, they're outside Celtic Park with crowds waiting for them, and they've got the strip and it's amazing, and you're going, wow, how did they get them up here? Those days are gone. You know, I think it's about spending it wisely, you know, pinpointing individuals who Ange Postecoglou and his coaching staff and his recruitment team know can come into this team and make it better. And the fact that Celtic are going back to Ben Davies has got to put you in the mind that they believe that he can come in and make this team better. I just wonder, if he does come in for £4 million, is he coming in to sit on the bench? I don't think so. Not at that level. Are you coming from Liverpool to Celtic to sit on the bench? No, you're challenging for a first spot in that back line. So I think it will be a different looking back line, obviously, for last season. I think James makes some good points in terms of the goals that Celtic shipped in European competition and how it's going to be 100 times harder in this Champions League. But that not only comes from individuals, it comes from the manager as well and the way the team sets up to play.
Well, thank you to James. Let's stick with the phone. Scott is a Rangers fan up next in Johnston. Scott, what's on your mind tonight?
Just going back to the Morelos situation, obviously, speculation coming in from Seville for £8 million. I think it's a bit of a... It's a bit of a snide bid, to be honest.
I will say, Scott, that it looks as if that bid didn't actually happen. It was a report in Spain. They'd reported that it was an €8 million bid from Sevilla for him, but the sort of talk over here, it appears to be that the bid didn't actually happen.
Snide's a great word, though, to describe it. Do you think Rangers would have went back to Sevilla and said, hey, that's a snide.
That's a snider.
I like that, Scott.
Definitely. I think a lot of Rangers fans would go back to Sevilla and call it it was for £8 million, because Morelos is definitely worth at least, I would say, £15 to £20 million.
I suppose the tough thing, Mark, is when a player enters the last year of their contract, and I said it earlier, but you saw it with Odson Edward, you saw it with Christopher Ayer. Celtic fans would have rated them a lot higher in value had their contract had a lot more to run, but Celtic maybe had to settle for a slightly lower fee just based on, you know, their contract situation. Do you think 15 to 20 million is where Rangers could try and get a fee for Morelos?
I think that's touching a bit high, if I'm honest. In the last year of the contract, in comparisons to Edward, you look at Edward, the age he was, where he was playing international football, you know, in that France under 21 team, he was making headlines in that. That's why Celtic were able to command that figure. Now, Morelos, I think 8 million or 7 million euro or whatever it is on the cheap. But the fact is, he's in his last year's contract. He's coming off the back of an injury that's kept him out for a sustained period. You know, it's a big pre-season for him to get right, if that's at Rangers or if it's at another club. And the problem with other clubs are then they sometimes take that into consideration. They'll sometimes chance their arms. So if that bid, if there's any truth whatsoever behind that, then it might just be the facts that I've said there, that last year he's coming off the injury, he's not played in a long time, months, so we'll offer this and chance it on.
Do you want to come back in, Scott?
Definitely. Morelos has come on leaps and bounds since Giovanni took over. Under Steven Gerrard, Morelos was a decent player, but he spent a lot of time in injury when Giovanni was there. But when you seen Giovanni come in and Morelos playing, it was almost like a different player. As you said earlier, obviously Morelos holds up two centre-halves at least. Pat Bowles in front. If you were down south, how much would you be paying for somebody that can tap Bowles in front and hold off two players? It's somewhere in the region of 20 million. You're looking at people like, if you compare Morelos to a down south player, you're looking at maybe...
The difference is there, Mark, is that the market is just different down in England. And if you're trying to find an example, Odson Edward is probably a good one to look at, because he scored plenty of goals up here for Celtic, ended up going down to Crystal Palace for £14 million.
Yeah, listen, we can't compare with the players down south. It's so overinflated, it's untrue. I mean, young players will go for astronomical transfer fees, and I'm sitting thinking, I've never even heard of these guys before. They've hardly played any games. But that's just the regard they hold your game in. They will get the occasional bargain, or there will be players that they come up and they'll pay big bucks, Kieran Tierney being one of them, who go down there and you go, well, maybe Celtic sold him on the cheap, even at 25 million. But look, Morelos, everything you described about him there, you're bang on. But English clubs, I don't think Premier League clubs look at the Scottish League and say, brilliant, we'll sign him on that. It's a European form. And I think Morelos was having a good season in Europe, and he put in some big performances. But the crucial thing was, he missed those all-important last few games that could have boosted that transfer fee.
Final point to you, Scott.
Hi, Morelos, he did have a great run in Europe. Rangers had a great run in Europe. It was just unfortunate what happened at the end, but obviously with Morelos hitting injury and different things. But I believe, obviously, one man doesn't make a team, but if Morelos did play the games and if he was fit, I think Seville might have been a different outcome. The whole maybe last two or three games in Europe would have been a different outcome. But touching away from Morelos, you've got obviously McGregor and Davis signed new contracts, which I think is absolutely amazing. McGregor, the age that he's at, still playing football, still committing to the club. As you've seen it, the Player of the Year Awards, I don't know if you've seen it, McGregor says he absolutely loves the club. and it's true, and it's up. You can see that McGregor loves the club. At the age that he is at, he's still playing.
Yeah, we don't know what his role is going to be next season. It looks as if John McLaughlin may well play a lot more football than he did last season with Alan McGregor getting, you know, he's now pushing 41 now. But as Scott says, having players around that have the experience of being at the club and know what it takes to play for the club, that can always help.
I think McGregor's a funny one though. I just thought he'd achieved so much at Rangers, and how are you ever going to top the Europa League final and get out with a Scottish Cup win? I was surprised. I thought he might have just hung like his boots up there, because are you stunting the progress of McCrory when you sign on? It'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. I said a couple of weeks ago I was surprised that they didn't make any inroads with Segrist, or they even approached him. It'll be an interesting one, that battle for number one next year for Rangers.
Well, thank you to Scott. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's go straight back to them. Andy is a Rangers fan in Finiston. Andy, what are you thinking?
How are you doing, guys? I know Mark was saying earlier on about the team getting a wee bit stagnated, but I'd like to keep all our players. I know we definitely need another proven striker, because I think all the players last season, they'll want to make up for that wee bad spell we had in the league, which that, to me, lost in the league, and trying to have another good run in Europe. You know what I mean? I really would like to keep every one of them.
So is that the main position you're thinking, Andy? If there's one player that's to come in next, you want it to be an out-and-out striker?
Probably not a striker. I don't know who we got cover for Tavernier. Who's the cover we got for Tavernier?
Zakowski, isn't it? The young Polish fullback. Who, to be fair, I think towards the end of the season, wasn't really getting too much time on the bench. I don't know whether it was an injury or not, but we hadn't seen too much of him.
Against
Annan. Yeah. But I'm not sure he got game time at all apart from that.
No.
So maybe a bit of cover for him, you know, for Tav. You know what I mean? I mean, Tav's class, as you know, and what he done last season as well, you know what I mean? So maybe a bit of cover him as well.
The selling point for that, for a player, is like you're coming in to challenge Tavernier and be back up for him, but he's never injured.
Yeah.
He never misses
any game.
We
saw that with Nathan Patterson, didn't we? That Rangers rated him so highly, yet he just couldn't really get any game time at all.
So as a right back, or any decent right back in this league or elsewhere, they're going to look at it and go, this guy just plays game after game. Am I going to get any game time whatsoever? But I mean, this might be the year he picks up an injury and it's a big void to fill, with Balogun away, because remember Balogun filled in there and was showed up decent in that position. I just feel with a team, if you rely on the same bunch of players year after year, it sometimes grows a bit tired and a bit jaded. And I wonder if the peak for that Rangers side was getting to that Europa League final with that, you know, unbelievable run. Taking injuries into account, they all chipped in their own way. I just wonder if that was their peak.
Is it a big part of progressing a squad that you need to keep refreshing it, keep bringing in, even if it's, you know, one or two new players every window, just to keep the players that are maybe there on their toes, thinking, right, you know what, I'm not settled in this position. I might have played every game last season, but, you know, this new guy's come in and might be challenging me for my place.
The best teams in the world, you know, and we always look down south, evolve. Even when they win, they don't rest on their laurels. They always look to add and change things to get the most out the players have got for a certain season, and then the good managers will realise that they need something extra. I think Van Bronckhorst might think that way. I think he needs to add freshness to that Rangers team to challenge a Celtic team, because the players who came in January for Celtic are still classed as fresh, really, and they've got a lot to prove this season. They'll be desperate to follow on for last season.
Andy, do you feel that key bits of business for Rangers are looking at the contract situations of Morelos, Kent and Aribo?
They definitely get them sorted. I mean, to me, they players, when you look at especially Morelos in Europe, you know, if you can get him back for next season in Europe, I mean, he's unbelievable in Europe. He scores goals for fun. So I would definitely, I think he will stay. I think Morelos will definitely stay.
What makes you so confident?
Because I think he's just got to look about. I was reading the thing the paper the other day, but the boy Marco Negri talking, you know, we've seen Morelos, look, we all love him, we know he loves here. I just think you look at it and go, right, I'm going to win a crack at this Champions League, because I think, hopefully, touch, crossing fingers, we should get through two qualifying games and get right steady in the Champions League. So what kind of, what more incentive do you need to play?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, Mark, but you look at the Conor Goldson situation, I think there was a much heavier feeling amongst the sort of general population that Goldson was probably likely to leave Rangers this summer, and he's ended up signing on. So yeah, it could well be a case that, you know, the three players decide that their future is at Ibrox. Future will tell.
Yeah, Goldson left it to the last second almost before making his mind up. Incredibly brave from him to do that. He obviously knew he was in a good position to bargain. The Morelos one's an interesting one. Andy makes a good point. The Champions League qualifiers could be huge then for Rangers. You know, we're so used to talking about Celtic getting to the qualifiers of the Champions League. Who can they sign? Who can they keep? Will players want to stay because they want a shot at that? Might be the same for Morelos. If Rangers don't make that Champions League group stage, he might just think, what other highs can I really hit here at this club? It's all about hunger and want to stay at a club. If the Champions League is there, I agree with Andy. I think he will want to stay. If it's not, then maybe it's a different story.
Is there a gamble for Rangers as well in that if you're so desperate to get through those qualifiers, do you spend the money now in the hope that you'll get through?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of need to hold off? And I mean, look, the Rangers squad have shown that they can get through European knockout ties. They did it various times last season. So Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might actually think, you know, that the players have shown they can do it. I've got pretty much exactly the same squad and have confidence that they will do it.
It's a big gamble. That's one that they would have sat around the table and spoke about what to do. I think you make a good point, though. I think Van Bronckhorst looks at his squad and thinks, who we faced in that Europa League all the way up to the final, are we going to come across any better in the qualifiers? Probably not, or on a par with. So there's no doubt those group of players can beat them. But look, the latter stages of the Europa League and the quarterfinal and the semi-final and the atmosphere it brings is much different to Champions League qualifiers in July. You know, the atmosphere around the full thing is different. So you've got to try and expect the same from the players that they gave at the tail end of the season to the start of the season. It's a big ask, that.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let's hear a bit from Jim Goodwin, shall we? He's been talking today about the money they received for Calvin Ramsey.
We didn't rely on the Calvin Ramsey money, you know, to keep the club going, but it's been a great bonus, there's no doubt about it, and it will be reinvested back into the club, and whether that's with the infrastructure or whether that's back into the playing squad, that will all be decided as time goes on. I can't say a negative thing about the chairman right now. He's been extremely supportive, and you know, one or two of the deals that we have done already have went over and above where we thought they were going to be. Yeah, you do sometimes have to go back with your tail in between your legs and say, look, chairman, we might need to go a little bit further to make this one happen. But when you're signing quality players, that's what happens.
That did make me laugh there. If Jim Goodwin did have a negative word to say about the chairman, I'm not sure he would have said it on a broadcast press conference anyway. But
probably not.
That is big money that Aberdeen have managed to get for Calvin Ramsey. And especially when you've had a disappointing season, Jim Goodwin is going to want to put his own stamp on things. He'll be knocking on the door saying to Dave Cormack, look, we need to spend money in these areas.
It's the best thing that could have happened to Jim, because there's no doubt about it. Aberdeen needed a clear out. That group of players individually, we said it last season, terrific individually, as a team, let both managers down over the season. He needs to put his own stamp on it. And when you're getting $4.5 million or up to $6 million for a young player who was in and out the side, then it's a great starting position. So it's about Jim spending it wisely. And he starts with the striker today, and he's linked with all sorts of other players.
Yeah, that was Bojan Miovski that signed on a 4-year deal, North Macedonian international. I think a striker was an area that a lot of Aberdeen fans were wanting to see them bring in.
Certainly was. I've seen him linked with Liam Boyce as well. I wonder how that would pan out. You know?
I think he did. I think he was asked about that today and said there wasn't much in it.
Well, you know, I usually follows Liam Boyce outside Pittodrie with an Aberdeen scarf above his head. Miovski came in. Looking at his stats, I don't think, looking at stats alone as a striker, he's not scored that many goals, but Jim certainly says he ticks all the boxes. He would have done his homework on this guy, as all recruitment teams do. I'm sure the Aberdeen fans will look for a better return than they got for the strikers last year.
Yeah, well, thank you for all your calls tonight. Thank you for tweeting in, or thank you if you were just listening at home. Thank you to Mark Wilson as well. I'll be back tomorrow night. I'll be in the studio with Jim Duffy, and you never know what might happen over the course of the evening and over the course of tomorrow. There could be plenty more new signings to talk about at your club, so we want to hear from you. Make sure to get in touch and stick around tonight, because Johnny Campbell is up next.